Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. I just got to share something really quickly because it was happening right before I came out here. You know, here in Oklahoma, we deal with a lot of stuff. You know, we obviously have tornadoes. Now we have earthquakes. We've been dealing with some floods here recently. You know, and now in my house, I have some mosquitoes. But one thing we don't deal with is alligators. Brent Bailey, one of our former youth ministers, now he's a pastor in Orlando, Florida. He took a nap today, and when he woke up, they found an alligator in their bushes in their front yard. And so I was watching a Facebook live feed, and they called the sheriff department, or called the police, and the sheriffs came out, and they were waiting for animal patrol to come, you know, come and get it. But the three sheriffs were able to apprehend the alligator, and I don't know if they arrested him or not, or I don't know if it was him or her, but they actually put him in the back of their squad car. And so Brent actually said, what are you going to do with him? He said, well, we're waiting for animal control to actually come and take him out. But they put him, I guess they wanted to get him off the street or whatever. You know, it's always good to get criminals off the street. And so he's there with his Facebook Live singing bad boys, you know, the cops theme song, but... You know, I said the good thing about it is he won't have to deal with any peeping toms, you know, hanging out in his bushes at all. You know, but, you know, so the next time you get a mosquito bite because of some of the weather, you know, think about at least not an alligator bite. So the alligator bite's actually for you to eat. It's not too bad. I've had those couple places. But anyway, I just had to share it with you. You know, it's not every day that you watch a Facebook live feed of somebody you know at their house have an alligator. So, you know, a couple people said, I'm not going to visit anytime soon, but... Anyway, so I don't know what they're going to do with the alligator. Maybe they'll take him to Gator World there in Orlando. I visited that one time, took my kids to Gator World. It's a real place, Alligator World. Look it up on the internet. There's alligators everywhere. And then the highlight of the thing is that there's a guy that wrestles with an alligator, and he always wins. So it's not really a wrestling match, you know, because the guy always wins, but... Anyway, so today or tonight, you know, we're gonna move from alligators to miracles. All right, we're gonna look at two different miracles that Jesus performed in the Word of God, and we're gonna kind of look at some similarities and look at how they may relate to us today. So, the first one is over in Mark chapter 6, and I'm gonna read from the New Living Translation, starting with verse 30, and this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So I'm going to kind of read the whole story, what went on. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't have time to eat. So they went off for a quiet place to, you know, I guess they wanted to have some time alone just to fellowship. But, you know, with Jesus, there was always multitudes around. You know, wherever he went, it was always... And you know, we kind of get a semblance of that. You know, if you watch some of the celebrity TV things, you know, everywhere a celebrity goes, there's always paparazzi taking pictures and people taking pictures. And think about it, that's just for a celebrity. I mean, that's like for the Kardashians. I mean, think Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a whole lot better than a Kardashian or any other celebrity or whatever. So think about it. If he was alive in the world that we live in today, I mean, you know what it would be like. But that's what it was like. I mean, everybody wanted to be around Jesus. You know, not only, you know, just to take a picture because it wasn't the picture that changed their life, but it was the teaching of the word. It was the ministry time that he had for them. But anyway, it says, verse 32, it says, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So, you know, Jesus wasn't planning to have a meeting here. He was just planning to go have a little time of rest and relaxation. Maybe he was going to go fishing or whatever. I mean, you know, think about that. You know, sometimes that we complain about us having to work all the time and never getting time, you know, to rest. I mean, Jesus never got a chance to rest. Even when he tried to rest, people want to show up. And then, you know, Jesus, you know, at first he's thinking, you know, I want to have some alone time. But then when he sees the people and sees how hungry they are, he had compassion on those people. He cared about those people. I mean, he loved those people. You know, and we should have that same compassion. When we see people hurting, when we see people going through stuff, I mean, we should actually care. You know, we should actually want to help them out. So Jesus began to teach them. And it says he taught them many things. And I don't know how long it was, but it says late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Now, interesting part about it is, this is one time that the disciples are trying to tell Jesus what to do. Because the disciples are the ones that said, send them away. He says, "Hey, Jesus, just tell these guys to get out of here. I mean, you know, there's not a McDonald's here for miles." You know, and you know, it's interesting because we can't hardly comprehend, you know, a remote place. I mean, even when we think of something's a remote place, you know, there's two things. First of all, you have a car, all right? And second of all, it's not too remote, you know. I mean, I know you can get kind of far away. I know the way we kind of determine how big your town is, we're like, well, where's the closest Walmart? And that determines how small your town might be. But there, you don't have to have a Walmart to go eat. Almost every little town has some kind of restaurant or some kind of convenience store or something, a gas station where you can get something to eat. Now, maybe it's not a gourmet meal, but I tell you what, I've stopped at a few gas stations when I've been traveling on the road and I was hungry and I bought some Ho-Hos and some Twinkies and, you know, some candy, whatever you could get, I mean, to tide me over till I could get to a place to eat, you know. So, also, too, see, when I was younger, all we did was we traveled on the road. And so my dad doesn't stop very often. So when you stop, if there's something you want, first of all, you always go to the bathroom. And it's funny because any time that I'm, you know, even going from Oklahoma City to Tulsa, some of them stop at a halfway stop. You know, somebody wants to get food or go to the restroom. I always go to the restroom because I was taught anytime you stop, you go to the restroom because we might not stop for another 8 hours or whatever it might be. You know, everyone's bladder doesn't, you know, see, my dad always determined that everyone's their bladder has to, you know, be on his bladder schedule. So there's only one person that can convince my mom, my dad to stop, and that was my mom. But she had to argue for a while before she ever stopped. You know, so, you know, of course, being a guy, it's like, well, go find a bottle. So anyway, but these people in the middle of nowhere, there wasn't any convenience stores. And even if there was places, you know, realize they had to walk everywhere. I mean, it wasn't like that they could jump in their car, drive at 50 miles an hour, you know, to a town. I mean, you know, even if you're, I know my son lived in a place in Indiana, and he was like 14 miles from where there was like any stores or whatever. But 14 miles in a car going 50 miles an hour didn't take that long. But 14 miles walking would take a lot longer. All right, you know, I mean, it was only 14 miles. It doesn't sound like a whole lot, you know, But once you go 14 miles, there was McDonald's, there was Burger King, there was a Walmart. So, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. The only, I mean, he complained about it all the time because, you know, he was like, I got to go 14 miles to go to get fast food. So at least you have a place to live free. So that's pretty good. Anyway, so his disciples, you know, they were saying, well, send them away so they can go to a nearby farm and village and buy something to eat. So I guess maybe in those days, you just knocked on somebody's door. Hey, can I buy some food? You know, I mean, I don't know what they did. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how they did things. I didn't know if you can go between 7 and 11. You know, I don't know if that's where 7-Eleven got their name, right? It would open at 7, close at 11. Now, 7-Elevens now are 24 hours, but they're still called 7-Eleven. I'm not sure why, you know. Doesn't make any sense anyway. But verse 37, Jesus told his disciples after the disciples said, hey, let's send these guys away. Jesus said, you feed them. And so their answer was, with what, they asked? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. So Jesus said, well, how much bread do you have? He asked and he said, go and find out. And of course, when we know the story, there was some little kid that their mom had packed him lunch. And of course, it says right here, it says, they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, I don't know about you, but I've gone to like Long John Silver's and ate 2 fish myself. You know, or, you know, now I've never ate 5 loaves of bread. I will go on record. I've never had 5 loaves of bread. But there are some restaurants that have some pretty good bread, and I've had a lot of it. You know, like Texas Roadhouse. I mean, those hot rolls, those are pretty good. But I've never ate 5 loaves full. I might have eaten 5 pieces, okay, but not 5 loaves. Or I want to go on record of that. I mean, you know, so I have no clue why some kid had 5 loaves of bread. Now, but I will say most of the loaves back then are a lot smaller than our loaves. I mean, you know, they didn't have the Wonder Bread loaf. You know, they had, they're a little bit smaller or whatever, but it didn't matter. I mean, 5 loaves weren't going to feed 5,000 people. I mean, you realize that's 1 loaf for every 1,000? I mean, if you do the math, and of course there were more than 5,000 men plus women and children. I don't know why I don't count women and children. I guess, you know, in the Bible they didn't count. I don't know. So I'm not sure what age you have to be to count. You know, I guess women don't count at all, and men have to be 12, 13 before they start counting. I don't know how it is. Anyway, so it says, then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And I love this. It says, so they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if they said, well, you sat down. Maybe one disciple said, here, let's go count hundreds. The other one said 50. You know, I don't know. But they were in 50 or 100. I guess they weren't anywhere in between because that's what the Bible says. I don't have no clue. Jesus took the 5 loaves and two fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute to the people. Now, I got to stop right here. You know, I always think different than everybody else. You know, we didn't read anywhere where it says they had 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 100 plates. So, or 100 baskets. I mean, I don't know where they got the serving thing, because remember, there was no Walmart nearby, so go buy some paper plates or anything. So I'm not sure, but anyway, somebody had something they served with. I mean, hopefully it was halfway clean. All right, so anyway, he said, break the loaves into pieces, he given the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. Remember, there's only 2 fish. For everybody to share, all right? They all ate as much as they wanted. All right, that's a huge deal. They ate as much as they wanted. Not like they ate and they, you know, they said, okay, you know, that's good enough. That's all. I just give me a couple pieces of bread. Now, see, if it was probably me, I'd probably say, you know what, guys? I know you're hungry, but it's time to call a fast. We're going to fast our meal today, but so, but Jesus didn't. He took what he had. And it says they ate as much as they wanted. I mean, that's huge. Everything that they want. So they were fully satisfied. Now, I don't know. I went to a restaurant. Actually, it was last week. And I'm not going to mention restaurant because I don't want to pick on the restaurant. I mean, I used to really like to go to eat there. And I'm not saying the food was bad. I'm saying that their portions were small. All right, let's just put it this way. I had an appetizer plus my main meal, and I was still hungry and thought about getting a hamburger on my way home, but I didn't because I'm trying to eat less, but I was really hungry. I mean, I really thought about it. I did not do it. I just stuck with eating less and, you know, griping about it, but it was miserable because I was still hungry. And it wasn't I was a little bit hungry. I was hungry. But these people, they said they ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. I mean, remember they said earlier it would take months to earn enough money just to buy the food, much less have the food. 12 basketfuls. I mean, so that means they had leftovers. And so if anyone was still hungry, you know, I mean, it was, I'm sure that they would come get the basketfuls. Now, I don't know if this means anything. I mean, people are into numbers, numerology or whatever. You know, there was 12 disciples, there were 12 baskets. Every disciple got a basket afterwards. So, you know, don't know why, but just pointed it out, all right? It says a total of 500 men and their families were fed. So I don't know exactly how many. There were 500 men plus their families. So however many kids and women were there. So there was more than 5,000 people. All ate on 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I mean, we're talking about, we don't even know if they were big fish. In fact, you know, I was taught they were small fish, but sardines, yeah. that's pretty small. I mean, you know, but I don't know. I don't know how it happened. All I know is that, you know, what Jesus took, you know, what he was given, and he make use of it. All right. I want to look at another miracle. And actually, we looked at this about a month ago on Mother's Day. Actually, it was Jesus' first miracle that he ever performed. And this is, I'm going to look from John chapter 2, once again from the New Living Translation, starting with verse number 1. It says this: the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." And I love the New Living Translation, the answer here: "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. Jesus said, "It's not my problem. I'm just a guest. You know, I was just invited. So why do I have to, why do I care if they ran out of wine?" Anyway, and then he said these words: "My time has not yet come," meaning it wasn't time for him to enter into his ministry, because, you know, whenever he, once you perform your first miracle, people are going to be coming to you. You understand? You perform a miracle, people are going to, you know, they're like, "Well, if you can do that, then what more can you do?" Anyway, so, but his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So, you know, that's why I pointed this out on Mother's Day, because, you know, it's just, especially for a son, it's hard for a son to tell your mom no. I mean, you know, your mom's like, you know, I can't ever tell my mom no. You know, and I happen to work with my mom, and I don't know how many times over the years I've told my mom, I said, "You know, I don't know if we can do that." Then my mom quotes the word, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. So then I changed my wording. I said, "We can do it. I don't know what it's going to cost. I don't know how much manpower it's going to take. I don't know how much material they're going to make. And I don't really know how we're going to do it, but we'll figure out a way to do it. But it might cost a lot." And so there's sometimes that mom says, "Okay." Sometimes mom will say, "Well, what's it going to cost?" And then I'll say, "Okay" or not. And that's how we got the, we are the only location, I don't know if you've ever been to our Broken Arrow campus, we have a globe that comes out of the ceiling that lights up and spins around. And my dad envisioned that globe one. I don't know if he had a dream or what, or whatever he had, but he envisioned that globe. And so he told the guys to do it. And so we actually contacted everybody. I mean, all the theme parks. We figured, you know, if anyone could, you know, has done this, a theme park has done it. You know, the people from Disney, people from Six Flags. We couldn't find anybody else that has ever done anything like that. And so my dad goes, "Well, it can be done." They said, "Well, I don't know what it's going to cost." He goes, "But I want it done." So it's done. And it's amazing when we pull that globe down, the amount of people that take pictures of the globe. It spins around with lights on it. I mean, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but I mean, there's, you know, also this is 1992 when we did this, all right? I mean, technology in 1992 is not as much as, I mean, remember the Y2K thing? Everyone thought your computer was going to blow up or whatever. I mean, you know, this is before that. I mean, you know, technology wasn't where it is now and things like that. But, you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He'll give you the ideas. He'll give you the knowledge. He'll give you the manpower. I mean, you know, it's, you can do whatever. That's not my thing is, when your mom tells you to do it, you're probably going to do it, all right? Anyway, even though Jesus said, "My time's not even here." And so, but his mother told him, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were 6 stone water jugs used from the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Now, you understand, these were jugs to put water in to wash your feet and you know, and clean up or whatever, because you realize that back in those days, you know, people walked everywhere, and they didn't have, like, you know, asphalt roads or concrete roads. I mean, so their feet would get really dirty and really nasty. And so Jesus told them to fill the jars up with water. When the jars had been filled, he says, now dip out some and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. I mean, think about this. I mean, if I was a servant, I don't know if I want to follow his instructions. Now, a lot of us, we don't think about, we don't think about a lot of things, but has anyone ever been to Mexico or down to the Caribbean islands or somewhere South America? I mean, a lot of times, you know, they tell you, do not drink the water. Anyone ever, you know, ever heard that? And unfortunately, a lot of times people don't tell you, do not eat the ice cubes either. Because now most at the hotels, a lot of times ice cubes, they have filtered water, but some places, some restaurants you go to, it's not filtered water. And I found out the hard way a couple of times because I'm stupid and don't think about it. It's just ice or, you know, sometimes, you know, when you brush your teeth, you don't think about, you're rinsing your mouth out with that bacteria water or whatever. But the water over there is about the same as like Mexico water. People do not drink the water. So you realize if they were going to bring this water to this gentleman, you know, and he drank it, he could get sick. That wouldn't be good for a servant. Plus, if it just tasted like water, that would be kind of scary because this guy was going to get mad. Because you understand, Jesus has not been performing miracles here. So the servants did not know that Jesus could perform a miracle. All they must have had a lot of trust in Mary. Because they said, do whatever he says. And so these servants, I mean, I guess the other side about it was, maybe, you know, the servants didn't bring enough wine, so it was their fault anyway. So they figured, well, you know what? Water is better than anything else. So they brought the water to the master of ceremonies. And verse 9 says, when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over and said, a host always serves the best wine first. And then he says, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. It was Jesus' first miracle. He turned the water into wine. And actually, I was talking to a gentleman in Brazil. Well, I was listening more than I was talking, and I got about 30% of what he could say because I know a little bit of Portuguese, but not a lot. But he was having a conversation, and they were talking about this miracle. And this guy, he was a chef, but he also was a wine taster, and he was saying, you know, back then in those days, that the wine had a lot more alcohol content than today. And so for a fresh water to turn to wine immediately, I mean, that's like, you know, not only the miracle, I mean, it's just, I mean, usually they took years and years to ferment that stuff. I mean, I know most of you, I'm sure, here are not wine connoisseurs, but, I mean, people pay a ton of money for this old stuff because it's supposed to be better stuff. I think it's all nasty myself, but, you know, that doesn't matter. But this guy, he's like, you know, they took fresh water. I mean, this is nasty bacteria water and changed it into wine. Now, what are the two things that are common in both these miracles? Jesus started with something. You know, in the first one, he took the loaves, the bread, and the fish. And the second one, he took the water. See, they gave, and both times, Jesus, he asked for something. And he took what they had, and he turned it into something they could use. Now, in the first situation, you know, he took what they had and expanded it. In the second situation, I mean, he changed it. I mean, think about changing the molecules or whatever to change water into wine. I don't know, you know, it actually would be a whole lot easier to change grape juice into wine than change water into wine, you know, because, you know, they are closely more simulated. I mean, you know, unless you have grape flavored water, there's no grapes in here. All right. And like I said, their water wasn't just fresh Ozarka, you know, spring water. I mean, this was nasty old gross stuff. I mean, you know, stuff that really was only good enough to wash your feet with. And so, but Jesus took what they had and he changed it. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus can take what you have and change it. He can use what you have. You know, a lot of times, I have an accounting degree. Some of you may or may not know that. Accounting degree from Oklahoma State University. And so around the ministry and at the school, I teach accounting, we teach budgeting and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they come to me and they're like, well, I'm looking for a job to meet my needs, but I can't find one. I said, but the big thing is find a job. Find something. You know, and I don't know where this came from, but I learned it from my dad and from my grandfather, is that Jesus will bless what you put your hand to. Put your hand to something. Do something. He can use whatever you have. You know, whatever you have, just give him something to work with. Give him something to work with. And you say, well, you might say, well, you know, I only have a little bit. But you understand that the bread and the fish were only a little bit. Now, there was a lot more water, but water was pretty plentiful, all right? But that water changed into wine in an instant, because if you'll just give Jesus something, he can change it the way it needs to be. Now, also, that has to do with our own lives. You know, a lot of times we feel, well, I'm not adequate enough. I mean, I can't do this, or I can't. Of course, obviously, I just read the Bible. It says you could do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I mean, but I know a lot of people, a lot of church members are saying, well, I don't speak in front of people, or I'm too nervous to this. I can't talk to people. I can't talk to people about God or whatever. I mean, you know, but you can. I mean, you know, the Bible clearly says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, I mean, he can use you just like he can use anybody. You know, in some ways, in some respects, you know, I always think about the thing, and I understand the Apostle Paul was an educated man, but I also understand that in his past life, that what he did was he had a decree that he could put Christians to death. And so he did a lot of bad stuff, you know, he was a detriment to the church. But praise God, when God got a hold of him, he changed him. You know, and if God can use him, he can use anybody. It doesn't matter how much you messed up. Doesn't matter, you know, what you've done. God can use you and God can bless your life. And it's never too late. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It's never too late. Just give him something to work with. If you'll just give Jesus something to work with, you know, he can help you. He can expand, you know, what you do. I mean, I don't know how many times, like I said, I've gone to situations and circumstances to minister to people, and I'm thinking in my own mind, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. How am I going to help this person? Now, if you've been in a similar situation to this person, then it's a whole lot easier, you know, to talk to them. But you know, for instance, I was just in a situation where I had to talk to someone who lost their child, and thank God I've never had to experience that. The loss of a child. I mean, you know, I should say he was a teenager, so he wasn't like a little kid, but he was a teenager. Doesn't matter how old or how, you know. And I'm like, I can't imagine. I didn't have the words to say in the natural, but it's so amazing how God will just give you words to speak, words to say, and ultimately, people don't really even care sometimes what you say. They remember you were there whenever they were hurting. You know, and, you know, when we looked here, when Jesus fed the 5,000, one of the biggest things that I noticed is he saw the people who were hurting, and he was moved with compassion, and he wanted to help them. And, you know, and sometimes I wonder, are we really moved with compassion? Do we really care about people? I mean, we might say we care about them, but do we really care? Now, if they're our family members or a close friend, you really care. But if there's someone you don't know, how much do you care? You know, I mean, do you really care? No, I mean, I'm not saying you don't care, but you know, sometimes we don't act like we care. And then some people who act like they care, they probably don't even really care. They're just doing the Christian thing and saying, you know, the Christian words. Well, you know, I don't know how many people will say, well, I'm praying for you, but are you really praying for somebody? You know, if you're going to write on social media or tell someone or text someone and say, I'm praying for you and your family, then pray for them and their family. I mean, I don't know how many times that over the past couple of months since this young man passed away I prayed for him and his family. A lot of people I know that they're just saying that because everybody else is saying that. Oh, I'm praying for you, but are you really praying for him? Now, yeah, maybe you prayed a prayer at one point in time, you need to remember them because, especially whenever someone loses somebody, the first couple of days, a lot of times they're in shock. A lot of people are around and giving support, and then a month later, nobody cares. Sorry about that. I don't know why. It's probably one of these demonic things, demonic noises trying to stop the message. But we should care, And the thing is, God can use you. God can use you. Maybe I'll move over here because I think it's better over here. Something about this place right here, I guess. God can use you. God can use what you have, no matter how small it might be. Maybe the connection's it's tight. Sometimes the connection gets loose, but he can use what you have. But give him something to work with. Now, the same thing. I know my grandfather always talked about this because some ministers or some so-called healing ministers, they're against doctors. My grandfather was always for doctors. In fact, he said the greatest thing was a Christian doctor. And thank God I have some good Christian doctors, because I happen to know people who are doctors. And it's awesome whenever, doctors pray for you. But it's interesting. My stepdaughter had some surgery done, and I didn't know this guy, but he asked before he was performed. He goes, "Is it okay if I pray with you guys?" And he had no clue. He didn't know I was a minister. Didn't know, and it was just so awesome. Just last week, my stepfather had a procedure done, and so the doctor has said, "Hey, and we're going to take him back." So I prayed a little prayer, and it's interesting that the doctor was walking away, but he stopped and listened to my prayer, and so. I prayed that God would direct His hands, and during that thing. And so it's interesting because the doctor talked to me a little bit afterwards because he didn't know that I was a minister because I don't really look like most ministers. I showed up that day, because it was 5:30 in the morning when I woke up, and it was also hot, so I showed up in shorts and a T-shirt. I think I had flip flops on too. So I didn't look like your average minister, okay? And I introduced myself. I just, son-in-law. It was just me and him. Actually, we were waiting for my wife and my mother-in-law to get down. They actually got there right before. In fact, they were the ones who watched the doctor because they're walking up as I was praying and they said, I feel bad now. I would ask the doctor to pray with us, but I didn't know he was like going to walk off to go do surgery. I thought he had to go prepare stuff, but he actually stopped and he listened. It's interesting. I don't know where he is Christian-wise, or I don't know, but you know what? I found that no matter who you are, people don't mind you to pray for them, especially when they're going through a bad time. Obviously that doctor, he has skills or whatever, but I pray that God will bless him supernaturally that day, especially on that surgery. I know some of you may or may not know that I had a brain tumor removed when I was 13. So I got like a scar right here, scar right here, scar right there. And so that they say that everything in my, it was like a 9-hour surgery. Everything was textbook perfect. I said nobody dropped any instruments or anything. Thank God they didn't leave any sponges in my head or anything like that, But that actually happens quite a bit, unfortunately. But said everything went perfect, And so it was, in fact, two of the nurses got healed during my surgery. I was back, I was at this, what they call the City of Faith. Some of you might have remembered at Oral Roberts University, they had a hospital there. And so it was just, it was an incredible time. They said that you could feel the anointing in the hospital room. But what I'm trying to tell you is my grandfather always was, he said, I'm a stickler for people. Whenever they're sick, Go to the doctor, find out what's wrong with you. If they have medication that will help you, take it. You know, it's okay to take medication. See, that's giving Jesus something to work with. Here, I'm doing what I can. You know, my dad has this phrase, the natural and the supernatural makes the explosive force for God. Coming together makes the explosive force for God. So you do what you can naturally. You know, if I only have a little bit of money, here's what I have, Lord. I mean, this is what I have. You know, I'm doing my part. You know, I know people that maybe they're going through a tough time, and I know some people that they're taking any kind of side job they can. Well, nowadays it's kind of cool because you can go, you can drive an Uber, you can do those, you know, what's it, Grubhub or whatever, where you go and deliver. I mean, you know, plus summertime, you can mow people's lawns, you can do all kinds of stuff. But I know people that are believing God for extra money, but you know what? They're going out and doing what they can. Now, maybe it's not paying all their bills, but they're doing what they can. And see, what I do is I do what I can, and I say, Lord, I'm doing everything I know how to do naturally. Now you take what I'm giving you, and you turn it around for me. And that's what he did right here in both these miracles. See, I was using something that I had and saying, Jesus, here it is. Here it is. Now, sometimes what you have is just you. You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, all you can do is just volunteer and you can help out because I don't have any. Sometimes there's, you know, places that you would like to give money to, but you don't have any money, but you can volunteer and you can help out. You can give what you have, you know, and it's amazing that how much God can use you, you know. And sometimes, like I said, whenever we're at a place and we're moved with compassion for people, you know, it's interesting how many times, first of all, we don't stop, but when we do, how amazing is we feel whenever like, well, you know, I didn't know what to do today. I know a number of years ago, some of you might remember, we passed out those things called VIP cards, and we encouraged people to be a blessing to their community and, you know, pay for someone's Starbucks, you know, pay for the person behind you, or if you're at the toll gate, you don't have a toll tag or a pike pass like we, you know, I have. You know, if you're pay the person behind you his toll. Actually, I had that happen one time when I was in New Jersey, and I don't know who the guy was or whatever, but I went to go pay my toll, and they said the person in front of you paid your toll. I don't even know who the guy was, you know, and I don't know why I paid my toll. But, you know, he doesn't know me. You know, I had money to pay the toll. It didn't really matter. I mean, you know, but it's kind of a shocking thing. But I know that we had that going on. And so we encourage people to even go to our website, let us know. And there was a lady was telling us that she, her best friend's daughter had just passed away. She just came from the funeral. She stopped at McDonald's. She didn't have very much money, you know, and she was thinking, man, if I buy this hamburger, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she was, you know, already having a bad day. And she said, you know, I got up there and they said, you know, the person in front of you took care of your tab. And it was just a hamburger and fries. I mean, it wasn't, you know, $5, $6, whatever it was. But that made her day. That made her day. And it helped her financially, but it also just meant, you know what? People actually care. You know, people care, you know, and here is this example, you know, the reason that these people were stuck out in the middle of nowhere because Jesus cared. And he saw people hurting and he began to teach them. You know, I know it's a little bit different today because, you know, most everybody has a Bible so they could read the Bible, but not everyone knows where to find things in the Bible or whatever. You know, back then, people didn't carry Bibles with them. So all they got was a teaching. I can't stand right here, so I have to, sorry, I don't mean to keep moving, but there's some kind of icky thing right here. I don't know what it is. So, you know, but my point is, Jesus can take what you have and he can change it for the good. I mean, whatever it is, you know, and you know, think about it. Even when you think about healing, you know, think about this, you know, if you can't hear well, but you still have an ear right there, he can take your bad ear and he can change that. Take what you have. What do you got? What do you have to offer? You know, what do you have to offer with your life? Or what do you have to offer, whatever you can offer, he can change it. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the changer. He'll change your life. and it doesn't matter how much you messed up. And I don't care if you mess up tomorrow and think, you know, I'm just a failure. I can never do anything. See, that's the devil trying to lie to you, telling you you can never amount to anything. But God can, you know, he'll pick you up and say, you know what? You know, you can be something. You can be something. Just give me what you got. Give me what you got. Now, when I'm saying give what you got, I don't mean giving. You know, some people say, well, I'm just going to give all my money to the Lord. No, I'm saying, you know, if you need finances, work. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a giver, okay? But be a, you know, you don't have to have a big gift. Some people think, well, if I give a really big gift in the offering, I'm going to get a really big blessing. You know, I always teach, give what you can. Give what you can. Now, my dad has taught us that, you know, to put something out on every wave. If you want something coming back in on every wave, put something out. And so I always put at least a dollar in the offering. You know, if I don't have a dollar, put a couple of cents in. But I know people, I'm not saying you should do this, okay? But I know people take it so seriously, they've actually took buttons off their shirt and put a button in because that's all they had. That's all they had. Now, I'm not saying that tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to have extra buttons on your shirt now because you gave a button, but you know, pressed down, shaken together, buttons added. I'm just saying I've seen people do that. I mean, I'm touched when I see stuff like that. Because I know that there was, I don't know who the person was, but I know that they probably, you know, didn't have anything to give. And they wanted to give what they could. And they took a button and put it in the offering. You know, and see, God can see our heart. He knows our heart. You know, but he can use what you have. You know, so, you know, I know people have even said before when we've had some times when people are donating toward a special project or whatever, like, well, you know, I don't have a lot to give. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, God honors you. And I tell you what, man, he can take what you have and he can change it for the good. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you'll just help us to understand. You know, it doesn't matter what we have, but you can take what we have and you can change it for the good. You can give us more than enough. You can change whatever you need to change to be able to meet our needs and to touch the needs of other people around about us. Father, you know, help us to be more mindful of people who are hurting, that as we live our daily life, as we work jobs, I mean, help me be more mindful of people that work near us, people that are around us, people that live next to us. Help us be more mindful of their life and help us to be moved with compassion, to just... be there for people whenever they're going through a tough time, Father. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here tonight that does not know your son Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Lord and Savior of their life. And so if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm not saved. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of my life. And you want to be saved tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, I once walked with the Lord, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And I want to make him Lord of my life again. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 says they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak with other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. And I tell you what, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, it's another experience and it's a wonderful thing. If anybody needs to be saved or wants to rededicate their life, wants to be filled with the Spirit, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you across the auditorium if you're here tonight and you need one of those invitations. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you. If anyone here that needs to be saved or needs to be filled with the Spirit, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you to help them come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, and I know it's been a little irritating night with this microphone thing. Maybe you're not irritated, but I am. Not the sound, man, because you know it's just sometimes those things happen. All right. But if you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, anybody need healing in their body? All right, come on down here. We want to minister to you. If you need healing in your body, come down here. Amen. We never like to close a service without ministering to the sick. Amen. Praise God. Come on down here. The rest of you, what I want you to ask you to do, I want you to reach your hand out toward these folks, you know, and I want you to pray with us, all right? what I want to ask you guys to do, I want you guys to close your eyes, lift your hands up toward heaven. I want you to think about two things: Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. And we thank you as we lay hands upon them. We thank you, Father, the healing power of God will flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. In the name of, oh, there it is right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God flowing into her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And we thank you, Father, right now that you're in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. There it is. 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 Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want you to keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen. I want you to know the healing power of God is flowing in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen.